like Wolverine who said, you know, Magneto's right, there's a war coming. Are you sure you're on the right side? And Storm says to him, at least I've chosen a side. I've chosen a side. It might not be the right one. I could be wrong. But I'd rather be wrong and do the right thing than do the wrong thing and be right. You know what I'm saying? My very special guest, Dr. John Bulio.
Bulio.
It sounds really awesome, like you're some kind of opera singer, like John Bugliosi or something like that. Maybe perhaps some kind of mafia character could be established in an upcoming film for you. But anyway, yeah, you could probably heist. Have you ever tried to heist a bank or something of that nature using your tuning force to crack the windows or break the vault open or anything like that?
No, but I saw a TV show where somebody did.
You reckon it might be possible?
Yeah, Weird House 13, they did it.
Because it's got to be done. Yeah, that would be good, actually, if you and me, for example, we went down to the Fed, and we know they don't have any gold left anymore because they just gave it all to the bankers, but yeah, it's just like, what would be the point of even stealing from the Feds? Because what are you doing? You're stealing fake money that doesn't have any value. Only to be chased by real guys with real guns to be dumped at a real prison? You know, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. People have got that whole idea that money is everything, money's what you need. And we were talking about over the break about how some people, they get into this this game, whatever part of the game they're playing. Like, I got into the media alternative field, you got into the medical alternative field, and we've both become successful at it. And the main thing that ties us together, of course, is the trauma that we suffered both before, after, and during our wake-up and our essentially place to find our feet. Kind of like, as you say, you develop a sense of threat in your life. You know, you get thrown into the water and it's sink or swim. And it's only after being thrown in the water, only after being exposed to that real grave threat of drowning, that you actually learn to swim. And this is what a lot of new people are going through when they're getting into this, when they're trying to expose any establishment scumbaggery mechanism. You will lose money. You will lose friends. You may lose your stuff that you've spent all your years accumulating. However, that's the stuff you'll lose. The things that you will gain is you will gain people, you will gain money, and you will gain all new stuff, okay? You have to lose everything before you gain it all back. And that's what the whole synchronicity part of actually standing in the light for the right, for the truth, brings you. Either that, or you've exposed something that's way too big and way too hot right now, and you'll wind up getting shot in the head in front of the in front of a whole bunch of people while you're cruising through some kind of Texas corridor. But, you know, that's if you happen to be a president or anything like that. But if you're an average person on the street who's just discovered something amazing, you'll be sweet, so long as you be very, very, very public about it and never worry about being assassinated, because the more you worry about it, the more likely it is to happen to you, one of my friends told me. Now, John, you've never had any fears of that nature, have you? That somebody might, you know, just go, this guy's tuning forks are real dangerous. Maybe we should do something about it.
No fears with tuning forks. only on the airplanes after 9/11 when they thought they were weapons. But basically, I don't have any fears with tuning forks. I've had fears in the past. I mean, I've been in situations where I've been shot at and stuff like that, but not because...
Whoa! Seriously?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Actually, that's why I say I had to go into neighborhoods with the police and help them do domestic dispute calls and develop protocols. And so I had some pretty, you know, violent situations I've been around. But that had nothing to do with tuning. In fact, if I had a tuning fork, I would have used it as a club. I wouldn't have used it the way I use it now.
It'd be pretty funny, like bash somebody on the head. Bong!
Exactly. I would have done it. But no, the tuning forks are very gentle, and then used, and if they're used correctly, they'll really can be a very gentle reminder of something that can help your life change and keep you on track.
You know how in supermarkets they have speakers and they always seem to play this really feel-good, happy music so that you'll feel real comfortable and know the words and walk around and feel comfortable spending more money?
That music is filled with auto-suggestions that allow you to spend more money and so on.
Hmm.
I know this for a fact.
You seem to be breaking up a bit there.
The music, like all those kind of things, or what they call black box. Can you hear me now? Are we breaking up?
I can hear you. It's just not the best, but I can make out what you're saying.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Okay. One of the things I did, I wrote a little pamphlet on what's called sublineal suggestion. And I can guarantee you, if you go into a store with Muzak playing, the chances are that Muzak is filled with auto-suggestions to buy more and so on that you can't consciously hear, but it's embedded in the music. And it's a very big business to do this. It's really quite, there's 1,000 different ways you can do it, but it's there. You know. So again, it's somebody trying to manipulate you, and not necessarily for what would be good for you, but to manipulate you to get what they want you to do. I suppose that's my idea of evil, somebody basically wanting you to do what they want to do without any consideration for you. You know, they just want you to, like a sociopath, they all they care about is manipulating you for their own personal gain. You know, and
well, I find it'd be strange. Like, there's a lot of people who know what we know and have businesses, like organic shop owners or mechanics or even grocery store owners or clothing stores, etc. Have you ever thought about maybe doing an album with some artists and maybe a few other activists or something like that? That these sorts of people could actually play in their shops that actually does help people physically when they're just in the shop hearing this, as well as maybe might help these good people who have good businesses who actually are there to try and benefit their customers to perhaps gain more money, you know, so that we can perhaps fight a more effectively a well-financed operation against the New World Order-owned conglomerates that are basically, at this point in time, lobbying government to pass all manner of restrictions so that the small businessman and entrepreneur will no longer exist.
I agree. And I put on my website a lot of free tapes people can have. You can just go there and download them. They're hypnotic tapes with all kinds of topics and suggestions. I came out with a new CD. I call it Muzak. It's like Muzak, but it's Muzak. And it's based on thousands of variations of Moon River. And you play it in the background when you're driving or something. And it's filled with good thoughts. I think, again, these technologies can be used to help people or they could be used to get you to buy things. I teach whole classes on the use of hypnosis and trance and music and how advertisers can use it for their benefit and how we could also use it to heal and make ourselves better. It's the technology and understanding it that makes the difference. It's the consciousness that directs it. And sometimes there's consciousness that directs it for no other purpose but for its own personal gain, and that's it. But you know, one out of every 25 people in the world is a sociopath. Do you know that?
I thought it was. Did you say 1 in 25? That makes it 4 out of every 100. Yeah, I'll say that's about right. 96% non-psychopathic. But there's another element. I think there's another, like, maybe double that amount. Like maybe a 10% of the population are known as proto-psychopaths, who are these kind of sycophantic little scum that sort of follow psychopaths around and love them and lick their boots, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a. But there's the aura around the sociopath that Hollywood likes a lot. And, of course, a lot of TV shows and mobster shows are based on. But the sociopath is someone has no empathy. They have no caring about anybody but themselves. Their life purpose is to manipulate you, to have power over you. And a sociopath becomes a psychopath when they kill somebody and murder somebody. Other than that, they're a sociopath. Majority of sociopaths aren't psychopaths. They just like to screw you over and enjoy it. And they target you to do that. And they get in businesses, or they live off women, they live off other men, whatever, and they like doing it, and that's basically it. And like I said, there's a lot of them in the world. We don't know how to treat them. There's no cure for them. There's no mental health thing to do for them. In fact, they joined my friend, who was a sociopath when I was in high school, was hired in Vietnam. He was the person who killed people, who was asked to kill people. He was proud of it. He got home. He killed a lot of people at the gas station. He went to the military prison, disappeared, and I'm sure that he worked for years to kill people for the military or the government because he was good at it. Probably dead now, but because they probably eventually get sold, somebody kills them. But, you know, these kind of people exist. They're not my people I idolize, but at the same time, there's whole cultures built around them. And they have power at times.
Do you believe that they actually, like, this psychopathic elite, and it usually happens in the corporate structure, they'll advance remarkably quickly, namely because if there's three people up for promotions, and including one psychopath, what the psychopath will do is he'll sabotage the other two people and get them fired so that he gets to the promotion.
That's correct.
And it goes like that infinitely up the ladder until you realize that if you look at Fortune 500 companies, the 1 in 25 becomes of the general population who are sociopaths. Up in the top upper corporate ladder, there was a great documentary called I Am Fishhead, named from the old Chinese proverb, "A fish rots from the head." And they said that instead of 1 in 25, it's actually 1 in 4 when you're talking about people in an upper echelon Fortune 500 company and the likelihood of them being a psychopath, according to the psychopathic checklist of stuff that they've got there, you know, like in that movie, The Corporation.
Right.
So I was thinking about this. Society structured 100% according to the edicts and the goals of psychopaths. Think about that. You go to high school, and what high school, I believe, taught me is how to weed out people who are different, who have creativity, and more of those who have empathy, and to promote those people who are vacuous and cruel, right? Those are the popular kids, the ones who have no real value of anything that they really do. They don't care about other people. They only care about themselves and what their image is like, that kind of thing. Those are the people who go straight to the class. And also those who can't think, those who simply regurgitate, they go to the top of the class because they've got the top grades. So it's either those who don't care about others or those who cannot think for themselves become the rulers of society. They become the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians and those kind of things. And there's those two strains. One is the bureaucratic system, okay, the unthinking follow protocol, and that is the more successful branch of schooling. There's the educated ones, the ones that go real far, and the ones next to them are the talent sort of thing. Not ridiculously skilled at building things or memorizing large amounts of knowledge and may not have the best grades, but they are certainly enchanting and capable of manipulating others into doing their will, which is often very, very, it's the only skill that is a 100% prerequisite to becoming a politician, isn't
it? It sure is.
All other considerations are secondary. Okay, I want to be a politician. Can you manipulate people without them having any idea that you've done it into doing your bidding? Well, yes, I can. Okay, you're in.
I tell the people that most of the people I teach with are empathetic, and I tell them the hardest thing for an empath to imagine, to even contemplate, is somebody without any empathy at all. You know, and I always say that, for an empath needs to learn to be more sociopathic, but a sociopath can really, at this point, never learn to be more empathetic. In fact, if sociopaths target people with empathy. And in order to not be targeted by a sociopath, you have to be sociopathic when you meet them.
Right. Or at least be aware of it. And there's a crossover here because psychopaths and sociopaths, what they do is they monitor and observe human behavior incredibly well and learn to mimic it so that people don't notice that they are who they are. They're incredible infiltrators in that sense of the word.
And then they ask you to do something and you notice that that's whatever they ask you to do is not quite right. There's something off in it. But all of a sudden, you're either afraid or you or something about they've manipulated you. You're afraid of losing them or they started a relationship with you. So therefore, you do what they say. And in the end, they don't. They're excited that you did what they said versus that they have any feelings for you. But there's, and I work with these people in the hospital, so I know them quite well, and I know how to identify them outside the hospital. And it's, they were the hardest people to work with you can imagine because, I mean, I work with psychopaths that were so personable and so loving.
Yeah, well, that's actually what the American Medical Journal, I read an article out of it once, says that psychopaths are really nice, lovely, and actually enchanting people when you first meet them, but don't have any long-lasting relationships and don't have any real empathy.
They're lovely.
And those are the people, and the three most likely industries you are to find them in is business, politics, and entertainment industry. We'll be right back.